faith. I see you back there shaking your head. Phil Hopkins said one time in men's conference that a lot of Baptists has been to Calvary for pardon, but they've never been to Pentecost for power. You'll get that on the way home. You'll get that on the way home. Been to Calvary to be pardoned, to be saved, but you've never been to Pentecost for power. On the day of Pentecost is when they received the power, when the Holy Ghost swept through that place. He said, "Preacher, do you believe in the Holy Ghost? If I didn't, I'd be lost. If I didn't believe in the Holy Ghost, I'd be lost, because you can't be saved unless the Holy Ghost draw." That's why some people are miserable this morning, because the Holy Ghost has done got all up in your business. He's done got everywhere you've been this morning. He was where you was at last night. He's all in your business, and you get uncomfortable when he gets meddling in your business. Can I get an amen? This morning, I want to just preach a little text that God's laid on my heart, and we'll go home. I know the time has changed, so right now I got an extra hour. Amen? Ezekiel 37. I've been set free this week. I just can't help it, man. I got in my prayer closet. I got praying. I got asking God, man. I ain't heard from you in a while, Lord. Lord, I ain't seen what you need me to do. Lord, I need you to talk. I need you to touch. I need you to move. And that's what he's done in my life. I said, all them naysayers, get them out of here. And he moved them. He scattered them. He got them away. Amen. All that negative, come on, get alive in here this morning. All that stuff had to go away, had to get out of there. Just get away from me for a little bit. Let me get at the spout where the glory runs out. Let me get at that anointing just for a little bit. I promise you, Lord, I won't take it for granted. I'll use what you give me. And this morning he's gave me something I want to give to you. Boy, I'm thankful that he saved my soul. Can I get amen? Ezekiel 37, verse number 1. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand. I ask you to reverence the reading of God's Word as we do stand. Ezekiel 37, verse number 1. Whew, what a great army this is. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. I got good news for you this morning. If you dry, you ain't got to leave that way. You might like your ribs dry. I like mine wet. Amen. You might like your spirit dry, but I like mine wet. Woo! Glory to God. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring upon flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And oh man, oh Ezekiel said, so I prophesied. I'm going to tell y'all something this morning. There's going to be some chains broke. There's going to be some people set free this morning. Naysayers that's in your life is going to flee. Problems that's in your life is going to cease at the name of Jesus. He's tired of his people being broke down, depressed, all bent out of shape. It's time that we get on fire for God. It's time that we stand in the presence of God. It's time that we stand in the power of God. And we stand where he's called us to stand and be an army that he is proud of. He says this morning, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Woo! And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And I beheld, lo, the sinews, and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then saith he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Here's what Isaiah said. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came on into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, just what you're doing today, and they became an exceeding great army. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence this morning, Lord, I pray you would anoint the preaching this morning. I pray you would anoint what goes forth. I do not pray that you would anoint your word, because your word is already anointed this morning. Lord, I pray you'd open the ears of the hearer, and I pray it would go forth this morning for that one this morning that is uncomfortable. I thank you for that already. For that one that feels out of place, I thank you for that already. I don't want to be a dead church, and I sure don't want to be a dead preacher. You've done too much for me, and you've brought me way too far to shut up now. Father, I pray you'd bless your people. I pray that you'd break free what needs to be broken free. I pray you'd set the captive free this morning. I ask you to guard my throat and my thoughts. Let this message be all about you. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. How do we become an exceeding a great army this morning? How do we become an army that could be exceedingly great this morning? As the Lord came to Ezekiel here and proclaimed that the flock was dead and that the flock was dry. Hey, the army had done become dead. It had done become dry. Hey, was none there that was alive. They were all dead and they were all dry. And friends, this morning, can I say to you, as your pastor, I don't want us to be a dead church. And I sure don't want us to be a dry church. This morning he said that you're going to have to do what God has called you to do. But how do we keep from being a dead and dry flock? How do we keep from being of no value? How do we get on fire for God? How do we let that torch or that flame, hey, burn wide open? How do we get there in our lives? Can I say to you this morning that number one, we see that the hand of God has got to be on you. If the hand of God is not on you, you'll be dry up and you'll be dead. He said there in verse number one, look with me, that the hand of the Lord was upon him. I thank God this morning that he can put his hand down from heaven. I thank God this morning that not only did he create this whole earth and the whole universe by his voice, but I thank God this morning that he can reach down and he can lay his hand on you and he can lay his hand on me. I thank God that he can reach up there in Memphis, Tennessee at the Children's Hospital and reach that old big hand down there and heal them babies, Brother Tony. I thank God that one day on August the 27th, 2007, he seen an old boy dead, dying, going to hell, and he decided to reach down and put his hand on me. Hey, when I couldn't reach up, he reached down. When I couldn't see up, he looked down. Hey, this morning, can I say to you, if you're going to be alive, the hand of God has got to be on your life. He says this morning, he say, what will that hand of the Lord do? There's some things that the hand of God will do on a man or a woman of God. Number one, that hand of God, it'll guide you in the right direction. Here it says, and the hand of the Lord was upon me, and it carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. I want to say to you, it'll guide you, hey, but it'll also carry you. When you can't walk, and you can't go, and you can't do, you listen to me this morning, hey, God's hand will carry you where you can't go, amen. He said it'll guide you, it'll carry you at the Spirit of the Lord. It got down there where Ezekiel was and it said that the hand of the Lord was upon me and it carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of dry bones. Hey, when he took him to them full of bones, I want you to know, he showed him the problem. He showed him what was going on and he said, this army needs to get alive. It needs to come alive. Hey, can I say to you as your pastor, we need to come alive. We need to wake up. There's people dying, going to hell and they're tripping over us getting there, and it shouldn't be that way, friends. We ought to stand in that gap and proclaim that Jesus Christ, his hand can change their life. Let me say this to you this morning, that the hand of the Lord was upon him. It carried him out. It set him down and it showed him some things. But look in verse number two. I want you to know that this was going on in Ezekiel's life, and it caused me to pass round about them, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. When he got there, he seen what was going on and he said, Lord, you brought me out here. Your hand has carried me out here. You said, preacher, I don't like seeing this. There's some things in my life I don't like seeing. You know why God lets you go to places and see things? That you may see the problem that is at hand, and that you may overcome it by the blood of Jesus, that you may overcome it by the Lamb, and you may overcome it by the Word of God. Friends, you, they may be going on all around you, but you don't have to be a part of it. Can I get a witness this morning? Oh, this morning he said that the hand of God was on me and that it carried me out. But let me show you number two about the hand of the Lord in verse number one. But look with me. if you will, as we go on down the text to verse number 4, I want you to know that the hand of the Lord, but also if you're going to be on fire for God and you're going to be set free, you're going to have the word of the Lord in your life. It's one thing to have His hand on you, hey, but it's something totally different when He puts His word inside of you. Amen? When He puts His word inside of you. This morning, it's one thing to put a hand, but it's something different when He puts the word. Look what He said in verse number 3. And He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Look what Ezekiel said. Hey, there's been some people in my life, I looked at them and I said, God, will they ever be saved? Hello? God, will they ever change? God, will they ever get right? Hello? And you know what He says? Don't forget where you used to be. Lord, can they be saved? He said, I saved you. Hey, can they come out of that? You came out of it. Can they be set free? You were set free. Lord, glory to God. Somebody help me this morning. Who's been set free in here? Somebody. Surely somebody's been set free. Surely somebody's been dead in their trespasses and sin. Surely somebody's been there and they've been set free. Surely somebody's been set. Surely you got a family member you've done gave up on. You said, I'm tired of praying, but can they be saved? That's what Ezekiel asked him. He said, oh, son of man, you know. He said, Lord, you know if they can or not. Lord, can you help me in the situation I'm in? He's the only one who can help you in the situation that you're in. He said the hand of the Lord was on him, but the word of the Lord. Look in verse number 4. Let me show you this. In verse number 4, he said that the hand of the Lord was on him, but the word of the Lord. And he said unto me, prophesy. Do you know what that means? You know what that means? Let me give you Detroit terms. You're going to have to talk to your problems. You got to get your head out of the sand. I got to get my head out of the sand, and I got to talk to my problems. I've got to talk to what's going on. The sin that keeps creeping in, I've got to talk to it and tell it, you're not allowed here. You was defeated 2,000 years ago, and you've got to get away from me. You've got to get to the place that you're going to have to talk to yourself. You're going to have to prophesy over yourself and quit waiting on somebody else to speak the word of life over you. You know what people will do? They won't speak good to you. They'll speak evil of you. People won't speak good to you. They'll speak evil about you. You say, well, I'm going to get confidence from the word of God, the hand of God. If you're waiting on somebody to give you an approval, you're going to wait a long time. And all you got to do is call on the Lord. Let me give you this. He said, man, I just tell y'all what, I am so thankful to be here. To be set free by the bondage of sin gone, and the blood of Jesus has set me free. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto the bones and say unto them, oh, you dry bones. Oh, you dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. I want to stop and slow down so you get this. The word of the Lord, number one, the word will speak to a dry man. When a man is dry, I'm talking about dry, the word will speak to him when you can't. Can I say to you that the word of God will speak to a dead man? Lazarus! Come forth. That word will speak to a dead man. That word will speak to a dry man. That word this morning will speak to a desperate man or woman wherever you are. The one that's desperate, it'll speak to you. When you're in all your desperation and you see everything around you is dead and dry and you feel like you're the only lily in the valley, remember, you're not the lily, He is. Speak to a dry man. Speak to a dead man. He'll speak to a desperate man. And I want to say to you this morning, He'll speak to a defeated man or woman. When you're defeated and everything around you is craving, falling in, He'll speak to your life. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And here's what He said. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Everybody stay with me right here. Kenyon Taylor, stay with me right here. Kenyon Taylor, stay with me right here. Stay with me now. I prayed you'd be here this morning. You think I'm crazy. I know you do. I see it in your eyes. I went to school with your daddy. And I've done him this way, and he said, boy, it's crazy. I prayed you would be here this morning. I said, Lord, I don't know what Kenyon's got going on. Sickness may come. Things may come on. But please let Kenyon be in the audience this morning. I prayed for you all week long. I said, Lord, let Kenyon Taylor be there because I'm going to need him. Because you've put him on my heart to use him, and I'm going to need him. And the Lord said, he'll be there. Y'all can believe that if y'all want to. So how are you going to use him? Let me show you what the word said here. Because I've watched you. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring, he just said, I'm going to breathe in you. And I will bring upon flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. Listen now, and I'm going to put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, Ezekiel said, I prophesied as I was told to do. As I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. There was a noise. And behold, a shaking. Have you ever been where the noise of the Lord come in? And there was a shaking all over you? If you ain't, you need to get there this morning. See, it's one thing to have the hand of the Lord on you. It's one thing to have the word of the Lord in you. But listen, I know a lot of people's got the hand of God on them. They got the word. They can remember it, memorize it, quote it back and forth, do everything you want to do with it. They can teach, they can do anything they want to, but their spirit is sour. Like eating an onion, you know what I'm saying? Sour. Everything's negative, everything's bad, everything's dying, we ain't growing, ain't nothing getting right, and we just won't get right. Somebody talked to me this morning. Y'all know people like that. And if all you got's the hand of God on you, you're going to be in trouble. And if all, Brother Kevin, you got is the Word of God living inside of you, you're going to be in trouble. He said the hand and the Word of God come to you. He said, but I'm going to breathe on you. Has God ever breathed on you? I told my son, Brother Roy Parker, he breathed down your neck. That night you come to the church wanting to blow your brains out with that pistol you had in your hand, and you wanted to end your life, and you wanted to leave here, and you wanted to die, and you was tired of living, and you come to the old-timey altar and gave your life to God. There was a breath from heaven come down, and it touched your life before the hand was ever on you, before the word was ever in you. The breath was on you. In the upper room, John 20:20, you know what he did when his disciples was in there? There was a roof on the house. There was floor on the bottom. It was all sealed up. Nothing could get in. And said the breath come through. He breathed on them. That life come in that room. Folks, this morning, can I say to you, you need the breath of God on your life. You need the breath of God on your life breathing all over you. You feel it when you walk in. He's all over you. He said, I prophesied as I was commanded. You'll complain when the breath of life ain't on you. Genesis 2, you know what he did though? He did to Adam. Said he breathed into him. All Adam would have been was old dry bone. Dust, nothing. But God breathed in him. This morning, this preacher, me talking to you, I'm nothing. But I sure am glad God's breathed on me. I sure am glad. Woo, he gave me mouth to mouth, son. He done exactly what I needed. Oh my goodness, he brought me back. Dead. Let me show you what the Bible says. You say, you done lost us. Let me show you what the Bible says. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews, means the flesh, all the stuff started growing back. And the flesh came upon them, the sinews, the tendons, the muscles, everything started coming back. And the skin covered them above. Keep reading. You can sit there all you want. You can come to church, paint it up, pretty it up, and been to the paint shop all you want to be. But if that breath of God ain't in you, you're in trouble. You can walk in here and you can feel His hand on you. You can hear the word. But if that breath ain't breathed into you, you're in trouble. He said, I looked around. Behold, all this was going on. But he said, there was no breath in them. Brother Taylor, well, I've prayed for you all week long, son. I'm talking about all week long. We ain't going coon hunting either. Brother Taylor, You can do better than anybody. You tell me what I got in my hand. Sir, I can't hear you, sir. Come on, get louder. I've heard you holler at games of basketball. Come on up here, son. I called this boy out because I've seen him play basketball. Now, he is not, you know, let me see. His daddy wasn't a bad player, but he's like his mama. He's a pretty good player. you know it's basketball? Feel of it, rub on it. Don't get hard with this, rub on it, son. Does it feel right? Dribble that thing like you usually do. Dribble that ball, son. So what are you talking about, preacher? God showed me this. He said, Kenyon will be able to understand this. You share this with Kenyon. Kenyon, that ball is nothing without air in it. You can't dribble that ball? You can't do nothing with it. It's got the flesh. It's got everything. It's got all the seams. It's got everything. It looks like it's exactly what it's supposed to be. But it's flat. But I seen you on the court dribble between your legs before you shot. You was doing this right here. Why can't you do that now? What ain't in it?
Air.
Air ain't in it. Blow air in it. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. You just said you can't blow air in it.
You gotta have a needle.
So you're telling me you gotta have help to get this air in. You're telling me you gotta have as good as a basketball player you are. I know you're over 5'7" because I'm 5'7". As good as basketball player you are, you got a jersey and everything, but if that ball ain't got no air in it, it ain't no good. And you can't put it in it. By yourself, you can't put it in it. You need assistance. You need help. I don't know what that does, but I've seen Mike Dean do it 100 times. Who in here licks that? Come on, get your hand up. Charles Coburn, you old school. Get it up. I got a dog at home. Pump that thing, son. Now I tell you what, let's do this better. You tell me when it gets right, how much you can hold. Tell me how much you can hold. Tell me when you get it to the place that you like to dribble. The way you don't like to be squandered about. The way you want to dribble. The way you want to play. The way you want to act. The way you want the ball to go in. It's all in your hands. He's sitting here. You can get all you want. But it's all in him. He's going to tell when it's enough. You know what he told Ezekiel there? He said, listen, they're dry, but I'm going to breathe on them. He said, that sure is slow. That's how God does. Y'all can't tell that ball's airing up, can you? Kenyon, can you tell? But can you tell? How can you tell that ball's airing up, son? Got your hands on it. Do you know what it's supposed to feel like when it's right? Could you feel when it was wrong? Come on, talk to me. Y'all just sit there. Holy Spirit's doing his job. Could you tell when it was flat and out of shape and wouldn't do right? Yeah. And you know what you're fixing to do when that ball gets right, don't you? Don't make me call your daddy up here. He's 44 year old and he might break something. You know what you're going to do with that ball, don't you? When that ball gets right, you'll be able to dribble. You'll be able to play. You'll be happy. You'll be have peace. You'll have everything you need to do what God's called you to do. No, I didn't hear that.
I said, that's good.
That's good? Mm-hmm. Is it tight? Mm-hmm. But can you show them how you play ball now, son? You want your daddy up here? Put that thing between them legs, boy. Look at there. Look at there. What he couldn't do, he can do now. Thank you. Pray for you all week long, son. I said, he won't be embarrassed. See, this ball's a little, for me, it's a little, he's playing like Tom Brady. But I like a little bit more of mine. Let me tell you where this illustration come from. Brother OJ was gracious, him and Sister Kim, to give me a dog. Baylor. He loves a basketball. Loves it. Loves a basketball. And every time Ryder get ready to play with that basketball, Baylor would get over there and he'd take that thing. He'd take that thing from him every single time. And I went over there and I said, how's that dog getting that big old ball in his mouth? How is he dragging him around and making him run after him all the time? And the Lord said, that's the same way Satan doing you, preacher. He's using people inside your church to do you that way. He's using people in your family that say they love you. He's using people all around you. Come on, somebody talk to me. Don't get quiet now. Don't get quiet now. Just cause you flat, don't get quiet now. You fix to have an opportunity to air it up, amen? You fix to have an opportunity for the breath to be breathed on you. And you can be right where you need to be. And he said, that's how Satan doing you. You done got flat. You done got stale. And he can just pick you up and take you anywhere you want to go. I said, well, how am I going to keep him doing that, Lord? How am I going to keep that dog from messing with my son's toy? He said, if you'll put more air in it, he can't get his mouth around it. If you'll put more air in it, he won't be able to play with it. He'll get tired. He'll get tired of it, and he'll leave it alone. Folks, listen to me. I got two basketballs in that yard, Brother Eric. I got one that's flat and one that's full. That one that's full, he will never mess with no more. You know why? Because he knows it's full. He ain't going to win. He ain't going to get his way. He just leaves it alone. But that one that's half filled up, he wears it out, slinging it everywhere. This morning, as your pastor, I'm talking to somebody right now that you know that your ball, your life, your spiritual life is flat as a flitter. You can't dribble it. You can't even bounce. The more you put Jesus in, the more you allow the Spirit to blow in your life, you'll just bounce. But JD, do that between your legs. Do me a crossover, son. I know you can got it in. Look here. You seen him? Why? Because the more you let the Spirit of God and the breath come in you, the more you'll bounce off stuff. Stuff won't bother you. When naysayers come, things come in your life, and they say, he dead, he dry, he all this. You say, huh? Because I got Jesus. You dying to do it. Get you some. Even if he is from Vernon. Well, hey, listen, Jesus don't care. He don't care if you're from Vernon. He don't care if you can say, he don't care where you're from. This morning, if you're not on fire, if your bowl's not tight, if you're not aired up in Jesus, you won't bounce off when things come your way. You can have the hand. You can have the word in your lap, and people still get all over you. Talk to me, somebody, right now. Talk to me. You know I'm telling you the truth. You know it's the truth. You letting everything and everything eating you alive because you're not full. You're not aired up. But when you're aired up, it'll just bounce off. It'll bounce off. And as Brother Kenyon said, there's not one thing he could do to fill this ball up. He had to rely on another source. And can I say to you this morning, the source I'm talking about is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. And when you air it up, even people around you will want some of it. My boy's crying. He's wanting a ball. He didn't want that ball last night when it was flat. You know what? He don't even want a ball when it's flat. He wants it aired up. Folks, the world don't want you when you're flat. They want you when you're full of air and full of the Holy Ghost. This morning, if you're not aired up, if you're dead and dry, I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to come to this altar. We're going to stand just in a minute. We're going to sing. We're going to bow our heads. We're going to close our eyes. Nobody's going to look at you, and I could care less what anybody else thinks. Can I get amen? Hey, it's between me and God. It ain't between me and you. It's between me and God. And when I got to have peace, I don't care about the other man. I got to have peace through the blood of Jesus. And I say, Lord God, breathe on me. Breathe on me fresh. Breathe on me anew. Breathe on me. And if this morning, if you're half inflated, you can walk out of here all the way inflated. And the devil won't be able to drag you around like he's been doing. This morning, if you're not where you need to be with the Lord, completely aired up, ready to dribble, ready to bounce, you can be this morning by the blood of Jesus. Father, I love you. And Father, I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you and I lift you up, Father. I thank you this morning for what you do in my life. I thank you for the word that you speak to me. I thank you for Brother Kenyon as I started praying this week that he would be here, Father. Lord, you know that I went around this room praying for people and you put him on my heart. Lord, this young man's fixing to leave out in this world. And Lord God, he's a senior this year and he's fixing to leave school and he's fixing to go on. And Father, I pray you speak to his life as he held that ball that he'll never be what he needs to be without Jesus being full in his life. But Father, not only for Kenyon Taylor, but for every man, woman, and boy and girl in this room, we'll quit playing if we ain't full of air. And that air is Jesus. That's his breath. And Lord, I don't know who you need to breathe on this morning, but I pray you'd breathe on them. I pray you this illustration got to their heart the way it needed to be, that the hand of God was on them. The word was in their lap already this morning, but it's up to them to allow you to breathe on them. Father, I love you and I praise you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen.